UFOs and the paranormal over our heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we try and bring on new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And I'm very excited to and delighted to bring on a brand new guest. Her name is Molly R. Harris, and she has written a very profound and interesting new book, which is called Be Grateful for the Shade. Now, I don't know how many of you believe in life after death and the spirit world, ghosts, and that type of thing. I didn't growing up. I didn't for many years. I was very skeptical. But, of course, I do now and have had many experiences. And our guest tonight, boy, does she have a story. Her book, Be Grateful for the Shade, is actually a very interesting story. So if any of you out there wonder if true love exists, our guest tonight says yes, that it does. Her book, Be Grateful for the Shade, is the true story of ultimate love and the discovery that physical death cannot separate souls that are bound by unconditional, unending love. This inspiring story of twin soul love between two worlds will definitely change your view of life and hopefully assist you on your own path to truth and discovery. Now, this book is more than just a memoir. In this book, Molly shares her very personal quest, which took her into the depths of her soul and led her to challenge the traditional boundaries that so many of us have and hold. Now, with very strong determination to find where her husband had gone after he died, and if they would ever be together again, Molly soon experienced events that offered her compelling evidence that we are all much greater than we think, and that there is more not seen than can be seen. Now, how powerful are spirit energies? How close is the spirit world to us? Molly has the answers to these questions from actual personal experience. So tonight, she's going to take us along on her incredible journey through death, darkness, and discovery. Our guest tonight was born in Illinois and raised in Tucson, and her book, Be Grateful for the Shade, is now available. So check it out. Now, Molly, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Well, thank you, Preston. I really appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
You know, these kinds of stories are just among my favorite to read. I mean, they're just so inspiring. And I'm wondering, as you grew up, did you have, I mean, what were your beliefs about life and death and ghosts and the spirit world?
Well, as growing up, I came from a traditional Catholic background. And, of course, I did not really delve into it much. I did believe in that there was something more than can be seen. But it wasn't until this journey with my husband that it really began my spiritual quest.
Really? So had you had any paranormal type experiences before?
No, I have not.
Oh, really? That's very interesting. So what happened? I mean, you were happily married and deeply in love? And
yes. My husband and I were our twin souls, and we've been around each other 24/7. In August of 2003, he was diagnosed with cancer, and after about a year and a half fighting for his life, he physically died. And being my best friend and twin soul, it kind of catapulted me into a new state of being or reality, whatever you want to call it. And I just felt compelled to find out more about life after this physical one. So I began researching everything I could and reading and searching the internet about life after death and spirituality and stuff like that.
Right. Oh, I can totally relate to that because after my own mother died in 1984, I was actually very skeptical of life after death and ghosts and all that. But the same thing happened to me. I was just compelled to find out what happened to her. And was she still alive in some other dimension, or was, you know, death the end forever? So I totally feel where you were coming from.
And I feel like a lot of people, you know, I've had a lot of people in my family cross over to the other side. And what this one was, the bond is so strong between the two of us, is what compelled me on my spiritual journey. Whereas the other ones, you just kind of, you grieve and you accept it and everything. But we had never, hardly ever been apart in 25 years. So it was, even though you know somebody's going to, you know, not get out of this planet alive, you still, I don't know how to explain it until somebody goes through it, but it really puts you into a new state of being.
Right. So, what are some of the things that happened to you that made you think that, you know, life does go on and there is a spirit world and you can feel the spirit energies and all that?
Well, upon searching for my answers to where my husband had gone and whether or not we do survive physical death, the mere intent of my searching, I believe, opened up doors of communication to the other side. And as the saying goes, seek and you shall find, and it seemed like communication was coming through to my husband and from my husband. And upon being enlightened, I know now that there is something more to life than this physical time, space, matter, and dimension. And so I was out on our property, and in our barn area, I was taking a picture of a moonrise over the mountains here in Arizona, the beautiful mountains, and I got some orbs in the pictures.
Uh-huh.
And so I continued to take photo after photo of spirit orbs and pictures in and around the barn area. And then one night, I was seeing something zooming on my digital camera screen, and it was huge, and I started taking pictures, and as such, I've got, you know, tons and thousands of pictures and also video of what I term in my book as spirit energy in motion.
Right. So, what are these orbs, then? Are these the ghosts of people who have passed on?
Well, I'm in an ongoing process of research as to what it is. But from my recent experience with these spirit energies, I believe that the spirit dimension is closer than we can ever imagine, and I believe that it coexists within our universe and is and has been there all along. But with the recent technology, and digital cameras and video cameras and everything, I believe we're able to capture them. Spirit energy in video and in photos. And I believe, my belief is that it's a solid dimension just as this dimension is solid to us. And with what I've seen with my, you know, visual eyes with the aid of the camera and some incredible photographs that I have taken, it just makes me know that the dimension is closer than we know.
Right. Well, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you know, I once heard that when people see a ghost that's transparent, the ghost is not really transparent at all. Like you said, to his perception, he's solid, and we're the ones who are transparent.
Yes. Yes, I believe that the other dimension is actually a vibrational state, an energy vibrational state, and it's one that we can't see, like we can't see microwaves or we can't see television, signals and things like that. It's not a scary thing. It's not a Hollywood portrayal of spooks and things like that. I believe that the energies are actually within this dimension. It's a dimension within our dimension, as are other, there are numerous dimensions, but that, upon their frequency of vibrational frequency of energy, we are allowed with new technology to pick them up in videos and stuff.
Right. Oh, it's amazing what new technology is doing. There's some ghost hunters out there with EMF detectors, and
yes,
they're able to actually detect the presence of ghosts and communicate with them on occasion.
Uh-huh. No, I actually believe that, and I believe that, you know, with the advancement of technology, we will someday prove exactly where the spirit world exists, you know, through technology.
Right. I wouldn't have thought that day is very far off, actually. I'm hoping that's coming up real soon. Now, what inspired you to actually write this book? I mean, it's one thing to have a personal experience and, you know, make all these discoveries, but it's another to actually get out there and write a book. I mean, I know how much work that is, actually.
Well, the inspiration was to help other people in my same situation. I thought I had lost my true love, my husband. You know, he's my best friend and everything. And I was just not receptive to death is the end. And so I wanted to write the book of my journey, my personal journey, and help others realize that death is not the end. You can communicate with your loved ones. I do not believe it's like as we've been taught that that we're not supposed to and everything. I do not believe that you can focus your entire life on doing that, but I believe that the lines of communication are open and are continuing to be open wider and wider. And so this book is actually just to show people the photographs, which I believe are incredible, and show them my journey of life after death.
Right. Well, I really commend you for getting out there and doing it, because, again, yeah, I know how much hard work it is. And it's also, you know, not easy to talk about very personal experiences, which are very profound as well.
Yes, that's true.
But I understand where how you can be compelled to share amazing kind of discovery, because, you know, I've also had a lot of personal experiences with my mother's spirit, and I was wondering, did you ever see your husband's apparition, or did you sense his presence, or as a spirit around you?
I have not seen an apparition. He has not materialized. Some of the spirit in motion photographs, I believe, are him. He does communicate with me, and I'd like to, you know, advise people that you have to go through a grieving process. And once you get through that grieving process, I believe if you open your mind and your heart, you can communicate with your loved one, depending also upon the depth of the bond. And our bond is so strong, I knew he would come through. And I liken it to, if you are in a room with one of your loved ones today and you close your eyes and you can feel their energy, and that is what it's like when he comes to visit me.
Wow.
You can actually feel their energy, so you're actually living in a state of being, and you're feeling your loved ones energetically than physically.
That's very, very interesting. Well, what about dreams? Have you had, like, sort of dream contact with him?
Yes, I have. I've had several vivid dreams, and when loved ones come, my belief is when loved ones come in your dreams, it's very vivid. The colors are vivid, and so, yes, I have had several contacts in dreams with him.
Did he do anything, or was he able to share information with you?
No, he didn't. He didn't share any information, like insight into anything. He did take me on a wonderful boat ride. he was always into boats, and so I went on this exquisite boat ride down this river, and in the dream I could actually feel the water. The colors were so vivid, they're just hard to describe. And then at the end of the boat ride, then I floated up above the scene, which is what everybody tells is an indication of an actual dream visit. In my book, actually, I talk about one instance where he visited my brother in a dream, and it was Valentine's Day, and asked my brother to get me a specific kind of chocolate candy to me on Valentine's Day. So he visits the family as well.
Wow. Yeah, I totally think that people can contact their loved ones through the dream state, and which are very much, I think, sort of like out-of-body experiences when these particular visitations happen.
Yes, I believe that too. I do. he's getting more into sending me signs, as I, you know, express in the book. There's several different signs that he has sent me throughout, you know, the last 3 years that he's been on the other side, and he sends me, you know, I ask him questions about, he was an engineer, and I ask him questions about things that I need to do at the ranch, our ranch, and I get answers in my head. So he communicates more that way than the actual dream state for me, and I understand that a lot of people are different, you know, so they have, I believe people need to really be open to this, and also don't think something is, you know, don't second guess yourself.
Right. Well, what do you think the other side is like? I mean, has your husband said anything about his life there?
Yes, he did. He came through in one reading, in which I mentioned it in my book, because I was taking all these pictures of spirit orbs and these incredible pictures, and I'm seeing them zoom by on the digital camera screen. And so in one mediumship reading with a very well-known medium, he told me not to think of him as a spirit orb. And so thing with that, what I got from that, from him, in knowing him and what he was trying to convey to me, was he said that he had two arms, two legs, and everything else. So that conveys to me that spirit world is a very solid place to him. And that I believe that their energy, what we're picking up, is actually their energy. Also, if you watch the ending of The Wizard of Oz, and you see how the good fairy comes in to help Dorothy go back home, and, you know, she clicks her heels, she comes in as a spirit orb and then manifests as the good fairy. Also in The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, watch how spirit orbs get around. It's just an energy thing that they move around him. So he has conveyed some of what the other side is. He told me that there's things over there that he can't even explain. That is just, it's amazing to him. So I'm sure he's having a good time.
Well, what does your family think about your experiences, and how are they reacting to all of it? You know, you haven't published this book and gone public with the family story.
They're very supportive. You know, at times I thought I was going nuts, you know, because it's a whole new way of thinking. It's a whole new way of being. It's a whole new way of relating to your loved ones. You know, my mom crossed over 6 months before my husband did. You know, so I have a lot of family over there, and they don't come to visit me as much as my husband does or try to communicate because of the closeness of the bond that we have. It depends on the bond that you have, you know, and how much you're grieving and everything else. But my family has been very supportive of me, and thank goodness they don't think I'm crazy.
and
like I tell them, the pictures don't lie. You know, I've got some incredible pictures in the book, not just spirit orbs, but actual energy in motion. To me, the pictures don't lie. They're incredible.
Right. There are some amazing photographs coming out. I remember after my mom died, my brother had a photograph taken of him, and he was completely surrounded in this white energy, which we felt it was my mother's spirit. So I was going to ask you, what started you taking these photographs? I mean, did you just start noticing orbs your photos, or what started you photographing orbs?
Yeah, I just started, when I was out on the ranch, I just started noticing the orbs in the photographs. I went inside our barn area at one point and was focusing the camera and just taking pictures in the barn area, and that's when I noticed on the digital camera screen these things just zooming by. And I, as they were zooming by, snapped pictures, and as such, got you know, spirit in motion, some incredible spirit in motion, like I call them. I don't know what else to call them because there's really not a lot of research out on this. I've got some other unique things in photographs. I believe one was actual. To me, it appears to be a hologramish type entity or spirit energy, which to me, in my research, is one step before manifestation.
Okay.
And manifestation is just where spirit is allowed to collect energy in a certain area and use matter but not become a solid form. It's still an energy which looks hologramish, like in Star Trek or something like that. But as I said, the research is still ongoing. I believe that the barn area is still active because of the fact I've researched vortexes and things, and I live in Arizona right in the middle of a bunch of mountains, which are supposed to be energy sentinels. And then also NASA has proved that the Earth has what they call ley lines, which are energy, Earth energy fields, and they come together at crossing points, which I believe heightens energy, which helps the spirits to pick up on that energy and be able to manifest.
So when you're photographing these things, are you seeing any of this stuff visibly, or it's all just only being caught by the camera?
Pretty much caught by the camera. I have seen several, just a few with my eyes, but, you know, after you've been programmed generation after generation to not believe in this sort of thing, and then when it happens, you have to actually reprogram yourself. And I do not get scared by the energy. I do not, you know, actually I wish they'd clean up the horse poop in the barn, but I can't figure out how to get them to do that yet. But I, you know, I'm not scared by it, so I just, I feel that it's not only our loved ones in spirit, but I believe it's, you know, angelic beings and things like that.
All right. Well, I totally know what you mean by you have to reprogram your mind, because I think a lot of people are having these experiences, but just ignoring them or passing them off as their imagination. Because I was with my sister-in-law, actually, one day, in a room with a bunch of other people, and I was speaking with her, when suddenly this little ball of light appeared at about eye level and just came swooping down towards me and into the ground, and it was only, you know, a few feet away, and I was going to ignore it, but my sister-in-law screamed out because she saw me looking at it, and she turned to look to see what I was looking at. I saw that.
Yeah. And there, you know, there are people that have adjusted their energy field to pick up and be able to see that. And I believe that, you know, we will be seeing more and more of that. I believe that the veil between the two dimensions is thinning. That's my personal belief. And then with today's technology, we are able to capture energy, you know, spirit energy on photo. And I have some incredible video that is really cool. but I honestly believe that it will thin even more.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Molly R. Harris. Hello, everyone. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but we wanted to fix the sound problem. Sounds like it's doing a little bit better.
Yeah, it sounds better.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Molly R. Harris. Molly R. Harris. And she is talking about her brand new book, Be Grateful for the Shade. Now, Molly, where can people get this book, or do you have a website that you could refer people to?
Yes, I do. They can go to my website at www.mollyrharris.com. And there's some information on how to get the book. I'm still trying to, being the new author, as you know, Preston, it's hard to get out and about. So they can order it right through me for right now till we get it into the bookstores and things.
All right. Well, the website is mollyrharris.com. Okay. So, now, living in Sedona, Arizona, that's an area where which is really well known, as you said, for vortex and lots of other mystical type of experiences. I was wondering, have you had any UFO sightings in that area?
Not that I know of. I live out in the country, so there's a big space for they want to land. But no, I have not had any experience out here for them, and I do not recall if there has been any in Sedona. Sedona's about an hour from me, and there's a lot of heightened areas of vortexes there, and a lot of energy in the Sedona area. But I have not seen a UFO out here.
Huh.
But if they want a place to have a cup of coffee, they can come in and join me anytime.
Well, I do know that there is some activity going on there because there are a couple of books written about that area and the UFO activity. So I was just wondering. Because, you know, sometimes there is a connection with these subjects. And I'm just trying to figure it out and research it. But it's all very interesting.
Yeah, you're into the UFOs like I'm into the spirit energy orbs and things like that. I believe in the same thing. I do not believe that, you know, we're the only ones in the entire universe. This entire universe is so vast. I don't know if it's a time travel thing or what, if they're coming through the quantum field or what, but, you know, I think, I believe UFOs are out there, and you know whether they're advanced intelligent beings. I wouldn't mind seeing one. I'm not afraid of them.
Well, now about these orbs, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, there is not a lot of research done on these things, and it's cool that your book is, you know, bringing out some new information. Because, you know, I actually had an experience with an orb that I photographed as well, but didn't notice for a long time until I looked at the photograph again.
Oh, wow.
And what's really interesting is I should have noticed it because I was going on the Queen Mary's Haunted Ghost Tour.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, which you pay your ticket, and they take you throughout the ship and telling you various stories, and they take you to the most haunted spots. And, you know, as you're going through the ship, you can totally feel the energies if you're sensitive to them even a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Because I think it's probably the most haunted place in California. And the tour guide was telling me that she was only working there 3 months, and she's already had, like, several encounters, including seeing a full-blown apparition.
Mm-hmm.
But, so she was leading us through the ship, and I stayed really close to her because, you know, I had my camera ready, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to see something. And we went into the pool in the ship, which is supposedly haunted by a little girl. And right as we're going in, she stopped. And she's like, "Do you hear that?" I'm like, "No, I don't hear it." She said she heard laughing. And I didn't hear it. But we walked in, and there was nothing apparently there. But I waited until everyone had left afterwards, and I snapped a few photographs, and didn't think much of them after I had them developed. wasn't until years later that I'm looking back at the photograph, and there in the corner of the room is this perfectly round white orb. And not terribly bright. It's kind of a faded one. They seem to come in various types of brightness.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rather large one, and just totally apparent. I'm like, huh, look at that. You know, it's what I like about the orbs is, I mean, here we have some evidence, you know, some type of evidence we can actually study.
Yes, I believe that, and they're, you know, not like the debunkers say, it's not, to me, some of it is dust and moisture and things like that, but especially spirit energy and motion, that is not dust, it's not bugs, it's not anything like that. And
do we have a caller?
Hello?
Do we have someone calling in?
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing? What's your name, and do you have a question for our guest?
Sure. Well, I have an answer, actually. I was pretty interested in what you were just talking about. Do you know what an orb is? My name is Jonathan, by the way. Sorry about that.
Jonathan, what's an orb?
Well, it'd take about maybe 3 minutes to explain it.
Well, if you can give us the short version, that'd be awesome.
Okay. If you look at, say, if you take a flashlight, which is a three-dimensional object, and you shine three-dimensional light, say you shine it upon a wall, with a flat wall, people think or would assume that a two-dimensional plane would be, say, like a piece of paper. But you probably know that it isn't, that three-dimensional just has a very thin dimension of the three.
Right.
Two-dimensional plane would be the reflection of light. Now, if you shined a flashlight and had a circular reflection on the wall, you would see a two-dimensional circle of light. To make it real easy, from the fourth dimension, if they were to shine from the fourth-dimensional light onto the third dimension, you're not going to get a circle. You're going to get a sphere. I'm surrounded by extra-dimensional entities all of the time. Extraterrestrials, I'm in psychic communication with these vehicles that people would call them, that are projections in this manner. And I've been dealing with them for about a year and a half now. I've got over 200 entities around me at any given time. So I'm quite a ride, the upgrade that they give you. But anyway, it's hard to explain the fourth dimension because the brain doesn't automatically have the ability to conceptualize the fourth dimension or any other. But so that's what an orb is, and so when you see that, you can't see outside of your plane. There's an extra dimension other than length, width, and height that they can travel. So, for example, if you were a two-dimensional being, you would have the same exact dimensions that the circular light would be from a flashlight. Exactly the same, but you could not perceive the flashlight itself. You could only see the reflection. Yep.
Right. So an orb is basically a fourth-dimensional... fourth dimension manifesting into the third dimension.
Frequency, then?
Say again?
Do you believe that the spirit orbs are a different frequency?
Well, you have a whole bandwidth of frequency. What most people are locked onto is what you call the CF, or critical frequency, all right, that you align with your sensory nervous system, the ocular, auditory, and such, so that you not phase lock, but frequency lock on a center bandwidth. I can, and I have been changed so that I can change my frequency and I can move into different realms and travel in the fourth dimension. That doesn't mean I have to travel any of the third dimensional paths of length, width, or height to travel that way. That's a hard thing to understand. Imagine depth where there is no depth. So you can see the entities, a lot of them are attached to people. And it's a very interesting thing. Frequency, though, can be variable. That's a whole different thing than the dimension. Because you can have many different frequencies within a dimension. For example, the color black compared to, well, which can be many frequencies, right? Say the color yellow compared to the color red. Two different frequencies within this dimension. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So, go ahead.
Yes. I'm still trying to research it and learn, you know, what it is I'm capturing, and not being a physicist, I've tried to read physicist books, but some of it's over my head, but I'm studying
research
energy and all that.
Energy. Well, yeah. It's like this. A lot of people are looking for a vessel made of metal and some sort of structure. And not all ways of travel are this way. So sometimes, like for me, they'll answer me all the time just in the sky because most people don't know what they're looking at. They'll rationalize it with their own belief system, you know. But they'll just show up and change their phase to double the amplitude and show me an emittance and then just change one of their phases and then it just neutralizes itself. You can't see it anymore. It's a lot to do. It is energy, yes. But it's, are you familiar with the Wiesner field of electromagnetism?
I'm somewhat familiar with that.
You are?
Yeah, I am. The Meissner field, which causes,
right,
like, levitation type effects and things like that.
Like
a conductor.
Right. You can change your magnetic field around yourself so that you're not directly dependent upon this scalar reality of magnetism. Much like, for example, it's changing your scalar relationship. Like, I'm a group of cells, right? I have many cells, but I don't call myself we, the cells. I call myself I, Jonathan. But I am both. And so you have this different scalar jump, and with that is a jump of frequency where your other existence is embedding, like a carrier wave, you know? It's just jumping the stairs of carrier waves of existence. The way UFOs communicate, some people see them come around and they flicker, right, in an organized pattern, and they're flickering on and off, and people say, wow, look at the neat light show. That's basically how a molecule communicates within itself. You have this electron consciousness that has a frequency, and they can be out of phase, and when they bring them in phase, it doubles the amplitude, and suddenly, if you were on the scale of an atom and had the sensory nervous system to pick up the emittance, you would see a molecule flickering just like you would see a group of UFOs flickering. They're just processing information collectively the same way you would with atoms in a molecule inside yourself, you know?
All right. Well, Jonathan,
crazy, huh?
Very interesting stuff, but I gotta get back to the guest.
Huh?
I gotta get back to the guest.
Oh, that's weird. I deal with extraterrestrials all day, but if you don't want to know, that's fine. Thanks.
No, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Well, that's interesting, huh?
Very fascinating, yes. As I said, I've been trying to research, because I'm not a physicist, and I have been trying to research, you know, and read, you know, books on physicists and energy and wavelengths and frequencies and all that, but we're trying to figure out what it is. Put a finger on it anyway, get a handle on it.
Right, right. Well, that caller, I mean, it's clearly he's interacting with these things. Have you noticed yourself any sort of interaction with you and these orbs?
I don't really interact with them as such. Like I said, it's a whole new belief system of realizing that everything is energy and frequency and wavelengths and so. But I do get them, you know, constantly. I'm able to pick up energy and motion and spirit in motion and on photographs, but I have not as such personally interacted with them as the gentleman that just called.
Right.
I'm not sure you can, but
I'm wondering if they're aware that you are photographing them and that's why you're getting so much activity.
I believe they are, because the photographs that I have in the book, of course, only appear within, you know, maybe 10 minutes of each other or 3 or 4 minutes of each other. So I'm sure that they knew that I was taking pictures of them, you know, and just hung around to get pictures. So they were extremely fast. The energy was extremely fast. I mean, like lightning speed. And I kind of agree with the caller that this dimension that we're in, if we're not used into an experience, our mind filters out a lot of stuff. And so I believe that the more that I open my mind, the more that I can photograph and will be able to see the spirit and to the energies that are, you know, in motion. So I honestly, it relate to him on with that, so.
Right, it's very interesting. I mean, a lot of people are apparently having, you know, experiences with these type of things. So I wonder if that's what you mean by, you know, because I've heard other people say this, that the veil between the dimensions is thinning. And, I mean, what do you suppose that means for the future of humanity?
My, you know, my take on that is I believe that consciousness, when it becomes pure love, I believe that we will be able to go from this dimension into the spirit world or any other dimension, just by thought. I know that the spirit dimension is more based on symbols and thought than it is, of course, matter. And so I believe that thought is instantaneous in the other dimension. I believe that we're in the lower vibrational dimension on this planet. And so I believe that the veil is thinning based on mesh consciousness and everything that's occurring today with capturing spirit orbs and UFOs and paranormal activity is heightened. And I believe that it's, you know, like I said, that there will be no death, there will be no sickness, as I say in my book. I honestly believe that the veil will, between the two dimensions, will eventually cease to exist.
Wow, that would be
amazing.
That's
my belief, anyway. I have nothing to back it up, but my personal experience.
Well, you know, I actually think that you're probably right, because on the other side, people do have these amazing abilities to fly, as we do in our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to teleport from place to place instantly. We have the ability to levitate, and even like telekinesis as well. You can move objects with your mind on the other side.
Yes.
So, and there are people in this dimension who can do that as well. It seems like there's a growing number of them, so pretty soon it'll be a normal thing to do.
Well, and I believe, you know, I know scientists have proved that we only use 10% of our brain. I believe that in the future that we will realize how powerful we are, what kind of powerful beings we are. That we are unlimited, eternal beings, that this is just one, you know, one little drop in the bucket to eternity, and that we do possess some of the powers that are being talked about in today's age. We've just grown generation after generation to be dummied up, to not believe in that sort of thing. And the more we open up to it, I believe in hands-on healing. I believe in energy healing. I believe in all that stuff. And I think people nowadays are searching for something more to life than just, you know, growing up, making a living, getting married, having kids, dying, and that's it. And so I think people are waking up to more of that. And it's my belief that eventually the veil will be lifted to where we can come between this dimension and any other dimension that we want to go to. And to me it's not a scary thing. It's a wonderful thing that there is so much adventure and excitement, not only on this planet, but in the entire universe.
Well, the idea of that life goes on forever is, I mean, it's pretty amazing, really.
It is, and until our mind can comprehend that, we are in such a primitive state being in the physical. I honestly believe that. I believe we don't realize what powerful beings we are, what we can manifest, that we create our own existence, our own realities. You know, I don't claim to know it all, but I'm searching for answers. And as I search, I realize more and more is opening up to me. But I believe there are more than just this dimension and the spirit dimension. I believe there are numerous dimensions. And to me, that's wonderful when you start comprehending that, because what an adventure land we exist in.
So would you say that your experiences have removed your fear of death and dying?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait, of course, to physically die and go home to my husband, where we can, trip the light fantastic in the universe, as I tell everybody. But I am not scared of death. I do not want the process of dying, of course, like anybody else. It's, pain and suffering, but I do not fear death. I think it's going to be one heck of a, as they say, e-ticket ride.
Right. I'm really actually looking forward to it as well, even though I don't want to rush things.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're here to learn, and I believe that we are limited in the physical being. With the communications that I have from my husband, he's learning how to communicate more and more with me. I believe in telepathy. I believe we communicate telepathically. I'm reading books by some wonderful people and scientists that are experimenting with consciousness and energy and everything. And if we limit our minds, then man is going to be limited to just that. And me, for one, I don't want to be limited. I think the universe has so much adventure and excitement than just what we have created on this planet. And I'm excited about that.
Right. What's amazing is, like you say in your book, the spirit world is very, very close. And our ability to have these experiences is just a step away, really. So what would you advise people who are listening? What can they do to sort of get in contact with their own loved ones who have passed over?
As I said earlier, I think that everybody has to go through a grieving process. I went through what they call dark nights of the soul, where I just did not want to be on this planet anymore. My husband was everything to me, the light of my life, and I did not want to be here without him. You have to get through the grieving process, and then once you do that, you need to open yourself up, open your heart up and your mind up, and when things happen out of the ordinary, from what I understand, if you dismiss them, then they won't happen anymore, because we all have free will, and if you are open to them, I believe they will increase. I believe that my husband is trying to learn on the other side how to communicate with me, just as I'm trying to learn how to with him. And we talked about that prior to him, crossing over, about communicating with each other. And so once people lose their loved ones and they get through the grieving process, try to be open and realize that your loved ones are right there. I mean, they're constantly with you. They haven't gone anywhere, as my husband would tell me. He says, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just in a different form. And it's hard for our minds to comprehend that, because we are in the third dimension or whatever dimension we're in. I'm learning all that. But I know now that there is more than just this life. It's what people call a knowing. And some people say, well, it's just something you want to believe in. And I say, no, it's a knowing. Just like Wayne Dyer talks about a knowing. A lot of prominent people talk about a knowing. And it's an inner knowing. That's my advice to people, that they want and welcome the communications, they will increase.
Right. I'm not saying stop
your life and totally every second of the day communicate with your loved ones. I'm saying that they can assist us. I have problems all the time, like I said, and my husband gives me answers in my head, or I chit-chat with him, and he gives me, it's telepathy now. It's a new whole way of being. It's a new whole way of relating to somebody.
Wow. It's incredible.
An incredible ride. Once you get through the grieving, I am truly blessed to have had as I say in the book, to have seen what I've seen, discovered what I have discovered, and... It's incredible. And to found the love of my life.
You really are blessed. I love the title of your book, Be Grateful for the Shade. I wanted to ask you how you came up with that and what it what it means to you and how it relates to the book, because I just think it's a fantastic title.
Well, my husband, of course, was diagnosed with cancer. He battled cancer for a year and a half, and in between that time, he was in and out of the hospital. He was on life support. Oh, gosh, I've lost track of the time that he was in and out of the hospital on life support. He went through chemo and all that. But after 7 months of fighting for his life, and he returned home at one point, you know, we were excited about that, and he said he was feeling great even with chemo and all that. Then we got the news that the cancer had come back big time, that, you know, there was probably not a good outlook for it. So one day I was, began to cry, and I told my husband that I felt like there was a dark cloud hanging over our heads, and his reply was, be grateful for the shade.
Wow. You know what, Molly? We have another caller.
Okay.
So, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your name? And
hi, sis, how you doing?
Hey, it's my brother Mike.
This is the first time I've heard your show, Preston, and just absolutely fascinating. I have to give the qualifier. I have to give the qualifier that while Molly is my sister, I will also say two things. One is her book is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful love story. More than anything else, it is truly a love story. And the second thing is she actually helped me on my journey in life because. As both of us came from a Catholic background, I went a very different way. I went and became an atheist. And after experiencing many of the things that were in the book that were very, very personal and very, very real and very, 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 very on point in her life and in Russ's life, I will tell you that it's changed my way of thinking. We have a wonderful friend named Terry, who's kind of a spiritual advisor to me, and I have to tell you that this has really opened up my eyes to the not only the possibility but the longing and the yearning for that opportunity to have that kind of relationship with the energies that exist in this world that are beyond the physical.
Wow, well said.
Well, thank you, Mike.
You have a beautiful woman on the line there, and that book is not. You couldn't take a part of that book out of it because it starts with the journey of. And you have to understand that when she talks about 24/7, I can't be with myself as much as those two were together in life, and the depth of their personality. I can tell you that if they're two in the same room and they fall asleep, they move together even if they're on the opposite sides of the room. The connection was so deep and so real, and they worked together, they lived together, they played together, you know, this journey that she took had to take her beyond all conventional wisdoms that she had. And I learned a great, she's my younger sister, but I will tell you, I learned a great deal from my sister in this journey she took.
Well, that's just great to hear.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you bet. You bet, sis. I just wanted to throw that in, and thank you again. That's just an absolutely beautiful love story. More than anything else, it demonstrates that the heart does go on, and that two hearts can beat as one in this life and in another life, too.
Wow. Thank you.
You
well,
bet.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, love is the most powerful force in the universe, so I suppose it can bridge dimensions.
Absolutely. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe, you know, with what I've experienced, true love does exist, and, you know, the orbs are just a part of it. I think that's helping me to realize that there is no death. We just shed the physical vessel. It's all a piece of the puzzle. And I'd like to help people, anybody that wants to come to my website and if they're in the grieving process and even just want somebody to talk to, I'm there for anybody. And as I said, the orbs and the paranormal part is just a part of it. It's an incredible love story, like my brother said, and I'm blessed to have lived it. And still living it. It's not over yet.
Right. Well, Molly, our time is pretty much up.
Okay, Preston.
So I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show. It was amazing and a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we have been talking with Molly R. Harris, who has written a fascinating new book, which I hope you all go straight out and buy. It's called Be Grateful for the Shade. It's inspiring, it's profound, and amazing. And you can get it by going to Molly's website. Now, do you want to repeat your website, Molly?
Yes, it's www.mollyrharris.com.
Thank you very much. That's www.mollyrharris.com. I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another amazing guest. Until then, keep your eyes in the skies, and look out for those ghosts, too. Have a great evening.
Thank you.